Blog Talk Radio.
Nobody great. No matter where you look or where you go. Glory, 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 glory to God. Of a truth, there is no one greater. Well, welcome to Blog Talk Radio this evening. My name is Pastor Steve Lee, and I'll be your host for the next hour or so. And we'll just go ahead and get into the word for today. So if you would, just join your hearts with me in a word of prayer. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open my eyes that I might behold wondrous words, things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this time, in this place, because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to go in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. May we now awake to righteousness and slumber no more by walking in the Spirit and in the fullness of his grace as we sojourn in the land of promise, going from faith to faith and from glory to glory. For you've made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirit and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, we're going to do part two of Is Pleasing God the Most Important Thing? And I find that sometimes in our life, we go about trying to please our own selves or trying to please someone else. I have discovered that when I try to please someone else, I end up short of the mark. And I cause them injury, and I cause myself injury. And one of the reasons why it would be so quick to see why and how I end up with injury in myself is because God said he is a jealous God, and he will have no other gods before me. So here I am trying to appease this person or that person and missing the requirement of pleasing my God. I'm supposed to walk upright. I'm supposed to walk perfect before him. And the word perfect there does not mean like without flaw. It means mature. You know, as a child, we probably tried to please this one or that one and recognize that that was kind of vain and empty and didn't work, because it's inevitable that I'm going to look at something from a different perspective that they were looking at in a different time frame that they were looking at, and then at that point, disconnect. You know, even though we look at things different than God does, he's not egotistical, because see, he doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And his requirements don't change. Here is a quick reminder of his requirements. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy strength, all thy might, and thy neighbor as thyself. Those are the first things that he gave instructions to Moses, and those things have not changed. He wants you to allow him to bless you because all of your heart is connected to him. I don't know why it is that we give God the leftovers and expect the best. Yes, he did give us his best. He gave his only begotten son. And because of that position of heart, the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 8 that he will with him freely give us all things. He who spared not his own son, but freely offered him up, he will also with him give us freely all things. So then our job, if you would, our condition to see things flow into our lives. You know, if there is a desire that you have that's not coming to pass, it's not really on God to cause it to happen. Okay? He's wanting it to happen, and he put steps in place that would allow it to come up on you. That's what the Bible says in Deuteronomy 28. If you hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God to obey what he says, to do what he says, then blessings will come on, not just some blessings. He said all these blessings would come upon you and they would overtake you. You'll be blessed coming in and blessed going out. You'll be blessed in the city and blessed in the field. All the people of the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, that he will open unto you his good treasure. I mean, I just want to see the good treasure of the Lord. I don't want to just see something that was important to some other person, because God's the one that said he would open unto you his good treasure. Okay? And someone else might place a value on something that God did not place the value being the same on that same thing. See, I would like to live in the good pleasure of the Lord, the good treasure of the Lord. It says that for his pleasure, we were created. You know, you can look at that two ways. You can look at it as, well, I'm not going to get to do what I want to do. Or you can look at it and say God is interested in releasing his good pleasure in my life. Again, not just his pleasure, but his good pleasure. The thing that makes him smile the best, if you would. The thing that he knows I was created for. See, we try to function in life, and sometimes we don't know what the purpose is for the life we live. We try to endure and rather than enjoy. If as I delight myself, this is what he said, if I would delight myself in him, then he would be able to give me the desires of my heart. I'm so glad that he put it in there that way. He didn't say that he would give me the lusts of my heart. He said he would give me desires. He would place them in my heart. It would be real easy for him then to make sure that the thing he placed in my heart is fulfilled in my life. So you do remember the Bible tells us in James chapter 4 that we ask and receive not because we ask amiss. We ask according to our lust, that we may consume it. We have not because we ask not. We ask and receive not because we're asking from a different perspective. See, if I simply delight, I mean, this is some interesting words that he said. If I would delight myself in him, if I would make sure that pleasing him is the most important thing, walking in obedience to him, because he said, if I would walk uprightly, he will not withhold any good thing from those that walk uprightly. See, when my heart is connected the right way and my life flows according to a correct or proper alignment, good things are going to come up on me and overtake me. Didn't he say that goodness and mercy was going to be following me all the days of my life? And my job is to dwell in the house of the Lord forever? Because he's the one that made me to lie down in green pastures. He made me be able to deal with a position where my soul was at peace, not agitated. Agitated soul is a soul that makes demands. A soul that is at peace is a soul that produces delight. I mean, you know, you kind of think about it. We're going to kind of maybe, I hope to get to some of this. You think about how Enoch lived. Enoch lived his life wanting to please God, not just wanting to please himself. You could turn there, Hebrews chapter 11. It's pleasing God, the most important thing. Very familiar passage of scripture here. Verse 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by faith, the elders obtained a good report. It's interesting here, just as I look, the release of the things that faith is supposed to produce and release into my life comes after I obtain a good report. When you walk uprightly, he will not withhold any good thing from you. You can now obtain what you wanted or hoped for, the substance of the things, because you obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds are framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by the which he obtained witness that he was righteous. I mean, I just want you to kind of see. See, a lot of times we think that because faith is the substance of things hoped for, that the way we're supposed to get to the things is because we're supposed to exercise faith and employ faith. But see, we didn't understand that faith was not for me. It was actually the exchange that God uses to get things in my life. He wants to put things in your life the devil can't mess up. Glory to God. See, if the devil can attach lust to it, then he can mess it up. Okay. If the devil can attach lust to it, it will lose its luster. It will lose the delight that God wanted you to have because of the gift that he gives you, of the supply that he gives you, of the substance that he gives you. See, it's a real interesting thing. Scripturally, you can see these things happen, that if lust is attached to it, then it has no enduring connection to my life. The Bible says that sin only has pleasure for a season. Okay? This is what the whole challenge is. We are using faith to get the things and missing the connection to the one that is the giver of the gifts. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will, he begat us. This is why it was there. Because of his own will, he wanted us to participate in faith. Not of our own desires, not of our own lust. When we approach it from that position, see, the Bible, Jesus said it, not just the Bible, this has come out of Jesus' mouth. He said, it pleases the Father to give you the whole kingdom. Luke chapter 12, verse 32. He says, the whole kingdom. So then, if that's what would please the Father, then my job, if you would, should be to make sure that that flow is in place. He will not withhold any good thing from those that walk uprightly. It's his pleasure to give me the whole kingdom. Okay, again, I'm just trying to understand. The word good is coming out a lot of times right here. It says it's the Father's good pleasure. He said, fear not, little flock. Fear not. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the whole kingdom. He is looking. That's what the Bible says again in 2 Chronicles 16:9. It says the eyes of the Lord are running to and fro over the whole earth so that he can show himself strong in the behalf of those that have a mature heart towards him, a perfect heart towards him. See, he's looking for people he can bless. He's checking. And it says that his eyes run. To me, that is, he's like really wanting to do that right now. He hastens his word to perform it. He watches over it. So he can just say, it's my good pleasure to give you the whole kingdom. I want you to be a witness. I want you to testify of the goodness of the Lord. You know, unfortunately for us, we are probably looking at ways that we can brag on the Lord, but not bless the Lord. We're trying to make sure that everyone knows that I and God are connected on a very short string, and he really blesses me. He really loves me. Well, what about the love that you should have toward God? Because he said, if you loved him, you would keep his commandments. See, the whole thing is so that you can display to all the principalities and powers, Ephesians chapter 3, the manifold wisdom of God, that you can walk around in the love of God, Ephesians. I mean, it's just, if you would just see this. If my job, according to Isaiah chapter 1, 18-19, he says that if I would just hearken and listen to God, if I would obey God, if I would become willing and obedient, I would be able to change my diet. I will eat the good of the land. We can remove ourselves from the trials and tribulations by the connection that we have to God and his word. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you will be able to ask what you will and it shall be given you. Okay. These are the promises that we quote, but we quote them from a position of lust. You have not because you ask not, you ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by the which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Okay, well, let's just, again, look at what we see here. It said he offered unto God the sacrifice. God determined whether it was an excellent sacrifice or not. Not just because I drug it up there and put it on the altar. That didn't make it an excellent sacrifice. Because when God said it was excellent sacrifice, then the Bible said, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. I didn't even see that he was trying to be righteous. It didn't say that. It said he obtained witness that he was righteous. How many times in our lives have we tried to prove to God or fool God by what we did for God? It didn't say that that's what Abel did. He offered this sacrifice, and God approved of the sacrifice and gave witness that this exchange was righteous. Why? Because look at it. Just look at it. Here it is right here. God testified. God made a statement about his gifts. So then I would just ask the question, are you doing more talking about your gifts than God is? Are you trying to trick God? Are you trying to deceive God because of what you did? Because God's looking at the heart, not the thing that you offer. I remember, you know, as a kid, the church that we that I was grew up in was across the street from the candy store. And so your mother would give you your dues, because I was, it was a Baptist church, and so it was not offerings, it was dues. And so she would give me the dues and tell me to put that in church. Well, see, because I knew that the store was across the street, I said, well, God, since you, the cattle on the thousand hills already belong to you, you know, you really don't need these things. I'm going to go ahead and utilize them for myself. And so I'm going to keep some of the money back. I'm going to give you some of it, and I'm going to go across the street and get some candy. See, I didn't give God the heart because my heart was on me. I wanted to get blessed because I didn't have a job. I only had the money that my mama gave me, and so I want to make sure that I could get blessed by the money that my mama gave me. Yeah. See, I tried to trick God and keep back a portion. I didn't read the book of Acts chapter 5. I didn't read that where Ananias and Sapphira held back a part and the Holy Ghost came and asked what was they doing. Peter said, why have you thought about this thing in your heart to lie against the Holy Ghost? And they dropped this. I didn't know about that. But God was looking at my heart still. Say, God testified of his gifts. And by it, even though his brother was mad because he wasn't righteous, those gifts, that offering, was still speaking. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. It didn't say in the scripture that he did all the right stuff. It said that he pleased God. See, the reason he ended up there is because that was his intent, to please God, not to trick God, not to look good. You do remember when Jesus was talking about the Pharisees and the scribes, and he said, y'all give so that you can be seen of men. This is not what God is interested in, but this is what y'all do. Y'all make sure you walk up in your pride and you give because everyone is looking. Because everyone is seeing the size of the gift, and they're judging from their perspective that this man really must love God. Jesus said, no, no, your gold is going to just rot with you. You're the one that I'm speaking and saying, depart from me. I never knew you. I was never intimate with you. Everything that you've done has not connected to my heart because you were not interested in blessing my heart. You're trying to get me to give witness about your gift, your sacrifice, your offering, but you didn't connect with me heart to heart. The woman the widow woman that had the two mites, Jesus said, this woman gave more than all of y'all because she gave me everything she had. Y'all gave me what you think I wanted. They did what I did with the money. I said, well, God don't need all this money. The joke was, you throw it up in the air, what God wants, he can keep. See? But no, God is interested in your heart and the execution of the requirement that you already know about is what he's looking at. Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and he was not found because God translated him. I mean, just help me out. It says that because of the gift, because of the offering, because of the position of heart, God moved him. Because before he was translated, this was his testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Notice he didn't say that he is a wage provider. He said he's a rewarder. A reward and a wage is two different things. A wage comes because it's what I believe I deserve contractually. A reward comes because the heart of the one issuing the reward was touched. So those are some of the things that we really got to look at here. If I'm doing what I'm doing because I'm trying to bargain or barter with God, then that doesn't put me in the position where God is going to be moved, is it? You know, the difference between mercy and grace? When I do something wrong, I deserve punishment, but God gave me mercy. I did the wrong, and I deserved my wages, because the wages of sin is death. But God gave me mercy. Grace is when I get what I don't deserve. Mercy is when I don't get what I deserve. I don't get the wages. Okay? I did the sin, and I should, by right, get the wages. But God gave me grace, which is what I don't deserve. The gift of grace, not the earnings of grace. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Part of the diligent seeking would be to make pleasing God the most important thing. See, God's watching everything we say, everything we do, the intent of our heart while we do it. And then when he sees that it was not a trick and a trap, what you did, it was sincerity. Not because God required it, but because I wanted to offer it. Okay? We've got to get into this thing from a right perspective. And a lot of it is just teaching. You know, that's why, unfortunately, the church that I went to hadn't got to the place where they were teaching us to trust God. They were basically teaching us to trick God. I mean, the things that I learned because I would see people doing what was overtly wrong and then trying to get God to approve because of their gifts. There was one of the deacons that was on the deacon board, and he owned a liquor store that was across the street from the church. Now, how do you justify that if I'm trying to please God? If I'm trying to persuade God It's a whole different place. But because naturally he made a lot of money because people that are hurting would try to anesthetize themselves, inebriate themselves, forget their troubles by drinking. Naturally, that's going to happen. So then now he had money. So then now he's going to try to persuade God to allow him to be looked at as a good man by the money, the gift that he would give. So when the pastor, and it wasn't just one pastor that did this, there was multiple pastors. I personally went to that same church for like 20 years, maybe 21 years of my life, and the church had already been there since Jesus. I can't remember now. It had already been there since my dad was a kid. Okay? So that was a couple of pastors that were the shepherds of that house. And they all let Dobbins Bar and Grill establish right across the street from the church. See? And I'm not trying to bring condemnation. I'm trying to bring light to how we try to trick God, persuade God that we are okay. That wasn't what Enoch did. He had this testimony before his translation. Okay. Before he was looking for the reward, he had this testimony that God said, "You please me." That God said, "You are righteous." I mean, the conversations should be just really between you and God, not you and people. Because when I try to fool the people, you know, God is not fooled. He knows the real deal. We need to be honest here. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that what he also reap. If you sow to the flesh, you will of the flesh reap corruption. You sow to the Spirit, you will of the Spirit reap life everlasting. See, so if we don't make pleasing God the most important thing, then we'll do what I did, and I'll give him a portion of what's already his, the portion that I think I can do without. So with that information, did I ever give God a part of my the whole of my heart, or did I give him a part of my heart? Remember, you shall love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, all thy strength, all thy mind, all thy might. And I wasn't understanding that. That was not the example that was displayed in front of me. I mean, I would literally see some of the people that were in church on Sunday morning coming out of Dobbs Bar on Saturday night. So then when I get my chance to do what God is requiring of me, I do it with that framework, with that picture in front of me. That wasn't my judgment of them. I couldn't judge them one way or the other. That's just what I saw, and I approved because I wanted to do the same thing. It was not necessarily from a judgment, they're wrong and I'm right. It was a, wow, I can do this. This is okay. And it was never okay. I wasn't trying to keep them out of heaven because of what they did. I kept myself out of heaven because I approved of what they did as right. And I didn't look at what God said, that without faith. Okay, y'all help me. It didn't say without money, it's impossible to please God. At that point, when I'm giving my money rather than my heart's position and faith, God's not even interested in that. That's not righteous, is it? Okay. It says God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You can get to the heart of God and enjoy life, or you can try to live because the hand of God is moving. I just want you to know that Jesus told us God causes it to rain on the just and on the unjust. The hand of God moving does not make you righteous. He reigns on the just and the unjust. See, he doesn't require the perfection that comes from what I can do to persuade. He's trying to get you to live in integrity so that the blessing never stops, so that the connection is so good, so solvent, that you walk with him more than you walk in the flesh. That's basically what happened to Enoch. He was connected to God, and he was looking more like a son than he was looking like a child. You know, that's where we're living in the world today. That's something that really we got to deal with. Everybody that's on the face of the earth was born a child. And being born a child does not grant you access to heaven. Being born a child gave you access to the earth. That's why Jesus said, you must be born from above, born again. Without that exchange, beloved, you cannot get to heaven. Being a child gave you access to the earth. Being a son is what gets you into heaven. They that are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. See, and unfortunately, people might not have taught us that we need to be sons, not children. In fact, he said, he doesn't want you to henceforth be children. Children are tossed to and fro by not just one wind, by every wind of doctrine. Today, children might like you. Tomorrow, they might not like you. My grandson used to say stuff, you know, that was just interesting to me, but he thought about it from a child's perspective. If he received any correction, then we were being mean to him. If we said that he had to go to bed because it was time to go to bed so that he could be prepared for tomorrow, we're being mean to him. A child thinks like that. A son doesn't. A wise son listens to his father's instruction. A child might not. Remember the children of disobedience? They knew what to do, but as a child, they didn't do it. A son, a wise son, hearkens unto the voice of his father, to the instruction of his father. And what we need in our generation today, we need sons. In fact, the Bible says in the book of Romans that the whole earth is groaning and travailing, waiting for the manifestation of one thing, the sons of God. Not just the children of God. Children want to do it their way. Sons listen at the instruction of a father. See, if you love me, be a son. Not if you love me, tell everybody, remind everybody, that you're a child of God. See? Don't forget, Jesus said that there were people here that the liars, they listen at their father, the devil. I mean, you can see the difference between sonship and a child. See? If we're going to grow up and walk in victory on purpose, see, if I'm willing and obedient, that would be a son. Jesus, as a son, that's what the Bible says, as a son, he learned obedience from the things that he suffered. As a son, he did that. See? He was the child, but the child grew in stature. He grew in favor. Mm-hmm. Come on, y'all, look at this. I mean, y'all just look at it. When I grow in favor, I expect my sonship to do things that it didn't do before, because favor has been extended unto me. He grew in stature. He grew in favor. He grew in wisdom. We talked last week, and it says that we are people of that use strong meat, because strong meat belongs to those who, by reason of use, have exercised their senses to know the difference between good and evil. They're not acting like a child anymore. They have exercised, by reason of use, it says, they have exercised their senses to know the difference between good and evil. That doesn't sound like a child anymore. Belly aching and crying and complaining about this, that, or the other. They're the ones that participate in strong meat. See, they don't go. We were there. Just flip back over there. As we ended this last week, Hebrews chapter 6, chapter 5, sorry. Going to chapter 6. It says in verse 12. All right, here we go. This is starting in verse 8. Because I just quoted the scripture, and here it is. Started started verse 4. And no man taketh this honor to himself, but he that is called of God, as Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself, but to be made a high priest. But he that said unto him, thou art my, what did he say, thou art my child? No, he didn't say that. He said, thou art my son. Today I have begotten thee. And he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and songs and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and it was heard that he feared, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all that obey him. You see, I didn't even see this. He says that a son has the ability to author things. Ooh, glory. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed. A son has the ability to frame things. A child just begs for change, desires change, demands change. A son that learns obedience through the things that he suffered will be able to author things, frame things, effectuate change, because he operates from the power of sonship. called of God, a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered because you are dull of hearing. A son is not going to be dull of hearing. Children are dull of hearing. For when the time you ought to be teachers, son, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk. Babies need milk. I didn't say babies drink milk. I said babies have need of milk. They don't get nourishment from the source that they should have the nourishment given to them because they're sons. Notice, a son learns obedience through the things that he suffers. And then he authors things. He authors things that are eternal. Come on, y'all. A son authors things that are eternal. So that means a son does not deal with the temporal then. He understands that he has the right to deal with things that are eternal. A son deals with love because love is going to abide forever. A son deals with hope because hope is going to abide forever. A son deals with faith because faith is going to abide forever. A child just deals with what he likes, what he lusts after. And his lust is not going to abide forever. And you have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness because he is a babe, a child. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have exercised their senses to discern both good and evil. By reason of who are full age, even by reason of use, have their senses. Come on, y'all. I was thinking it, but not reading it. He says that the people that are of full age, watch what happens. They have their sense exercised. It didn't say they exercise their senses. It says they go through stuff because that's the only way to learn. They have their senses exercised. They're not in control. They go to a trainer. Mm-hmm. They have their senses exercised. They go to a trainer. And the trainer says, today we're going to work on this. They have their senses exercised to know the difference between good and evil. See? Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. He said, let's not go back there again, y'all. Because a child will go back there again and ask why. A son has his senses exercised until the question of why is removed. Because they have a different diet. They want strong meat. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So then I ask a question about that, and the question would be, so then is God pleased with failure? Now, he's already said just before you got here, you do know that chapter 11 comes after chapter 10, and if we would look at chapter 10 and see what it says in chapter 10, it gives us a better foundation for chapter 11. And watch this. He says, verse 35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now, the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them that draw back unto sin, unto perdition, but we are those that believe to the saving of the soul. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. You see how it's connected. See, it's not going back and starting over and trying to get God to do it your way because you don't want to go through nothing. You don't want to learn obedience because of what you suffered. You want to avoid suffering and drink some more milk, child, while he's looking for son. So is God pleased with failure? Turn to 1 John chapter 5. The faith wasn't given to you so that you could be happy. It was so you can cause joy to come to the Father's heart. Oh, yeah, you're going to say this a bunch of ways. John chapter 5, 1 John. It says, starting at verse 1, whoso believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. That makes you a child, doesn't it? That makes you a child. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, then you become a child. You are converted from darkness into light. And everyone that loveth him that begot loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God. So I don't know why it is that sometimes we judge people that haven't been able to walk in victory, to understand victory. But I have to, as a son, stop doing that because it says, by this we know that we love children, when we love God and keep his commandments. Again, if I'm going to love God, he's going to gauge that love by my obedience. Keep his commandments. But this is the love of God, commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God is supposed to grow up. It's supposed to use milk, meat, not milk. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him, because it's going to take faith to get you out of the land of failure. Amen. Just want you to see that. Okay? He's wanting you to participate in victory. But if I can't love, because you do know that faith worketh by love. Galatians chapter 5. Okay? Galatians chapter 5. We're going to go there after we get through 3 John through 4. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Okay? Since our faith is the victory that overcomes, How does our faith work? Our faith works by love. Okay? So then we go, and he's still talking about that over in 1 John, in 2 John 2. He's talking about that, and he's still talking about it in 3 John. Watch this. I mean, this whole letter is a revisiting the love of God because it's necessary to love children unto sonship. 3 John. The elder and well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that's in thee, even how that thou walkest in truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever y'all doest to the brethren and to strangers. If the love is in you and it abounds, it makes it that you will neither be unbearing or fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. See, he's asking us to allow to be our lifestyle, and the way faith works is by love. So love has to then be our lifestyle, doesn't it? Because he asks you over and over, how can you say you love God who you haven't seen and you don't love your brother who you have seen? So how do you expect your faith to work then if you're trying to function without releasing the love that should be in manifestation at all times? Galatians chapter 5, write that down, go back to it again. Romans chapter 8, chapter 13, verse 8, same thing. He's trying to get you to understand that love is required for this. Required, mandated. I'm trying to see where I want to start here. Okay, all right. Start at verse 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say, because of this, I want you to hear, understand, perceive, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you want to do. But if you are led of the Spirit, or if you are a son, because they that are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. If you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. But now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance. You keep changing and going back. You keep trying to make it happen the way you want to happen. These things are not those that walk in the Spirit. These things are not those that are sons. That's what they do. Wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such the like, which I tell you before, as I told you in times past, that they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with its affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. See, he's telling us all the time that faith that God is pleased with works by love. And love has to be made manifest separate from the way we used to do things. If I'm going to walk in the Spirit, I have to live in it. If I say I'm a son, then I have to walk out sonship. If I'm not going to walk out sonship, I'm just a child. And that's going to be one tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. See, these are the things that God is looking for. The way and the consistency that we hear the word will determine the quality and range of the victory that will manifest for you. Okay? See, if we keep letting things slip, forgetting it, thinking a child forgets, that's what they say. I forgot to do that. That's not what we're supposed to do. Turn to Hebrews chapter 2. These are just places that you can just go and be built up and steadfastly anchored in the love of God. That's what these scriptures are for. Go back and look at them. Hebrews chapter 11, 1 John chapter 1, chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, actually. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Come on, y'all. 3 John chapter 2. 3 John 2 through 4. Ain't got but one chapter in 3 John. Galatians chapter 5. Romans chapter 13, verse 8. Hebrews chapter 2. Watch this. Not letting it slip. A child lets things slip. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which you have heard. He said, I need to pay attention. See, we already quoted that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Okay? He doesn't want you to let them slip now. He wants you to live in that. He wants you to begin to process that over and over and over and over. Okay? So then we should not let these things slip. But we should give the more earnest heed to them, lest at any time we become like a child. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a recompense and reward, how shall we escape so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, was confirmed unto us by them that heard? God also bearing them both signs and wonders, with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. We want to get into the place where we can live this. For unto the angels he has not put subjection to the world to come, where we speak, but in a certain place he testified, and this is what he said: what is man that you are mindful of him? Or the son of man that you visited him? This is what David was contemplating. How can I get out of this mess that I always keep going back to? Why don't I think that you've called me unto the place of honor and glory? You've crowned me with glory and honor. And because of that, then you gave me authority, because you set him over all the works of your hand. See, it's time for us to really grow on up and utilize what he's given us. Utilize the victory that he planned for us. Right? Holding on to his promises. Last passage of scripture we're going to look at is Luke chapter 5. See, the way you Hold on to the word. The way you hear the word will determine the quality and range of the victory that will manifest for you. Walking in the Spirit causes you to go from glory to glory. If you forget the promises, you're going to begin to wonder and wonder how to live. Luke chapter 5, starting at verse 1. Go back and study how Jesus was teaching, because he was always teaching. While he was walking, he was teaching them truths that would be able to take them to the next level, take them to their victory, take them to the ability that they would stop being children and become sons. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. And when he entered in one of those ships, which was Simon, he prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and talked to people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." And Simon answered him and said, "Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." He was teaching them that when you allow God to get to your heart, he will bless whatever is in your life. Simon's business was fishing, and Simon was part of the people that were pressing upon him to hear the word of God. He was in the place where God was dealing with his heart. So when Jesus asked him to use his boat, Simon didn't have a problem with that. And then when he got through speaking, he said, "Now, you who were interested in me, I'm going to show you the interest that God has in you. Launch out into the deep." Okay? Did you just catch that? Because Simon was interested in what Jesus had to say, Jesus could then take him into the next level to life by revelation. He can take him to that. He said, "Take your boat and launch out into the deep and let down your net for a catch, a draft." And Simon said, "Okay, all right, maybe you don't know, but I'll tell you just because. We've been here all night, and we didn't catch nothing. But because you said it, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they enclosed, circle that word. When they did what the word told them to do, they enclosed what was already there. They had been working all night, didn't catch nothing. And Jesus gave them a word because they were interested in him, and he wanted to take them to the next level. He wanted to take them out into the deep. He wanted to take them into the place where the word of God would be able to supply need for them when they hadn't seen it before. Launch out into the deep. Which tells me that most of the fish that they were catching before were not in the deep. They were existing off of leftovers, if you would, because they didn't go into the deep before. They only went close to the shore before. But he's going to give them a revelation. When you connect with God at the heart level, God can take you into the deep where the riches of glory are. He can take you into the deep where the supply of God is. They enclosed a great multitude of fishes. and their net break. Jesus took an empty net and filled it to capacity till it began to break. And then because of this teaching, he's getting them to understand, if I can get involved with God at a deeper level, I'll be able to help people. Look at that. And they beckoned to their partners, which were in the other ship. When he takes you out into the deep, it's not just for you. You had already expended your mastery. You had already caught nothing. But as soon as you did what the word told you to do, you enclosed a great multitude of fish, that it broke your net, that you had to have help, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships so that they began to sink. And when Peter saw it, he fell at his knees and said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." I need for you to catch that. This is the first experience of grace, not of mercy. Jesus didn't give him the catch because he deserved it. He gave him the catch because he wanted him to have it. That right there was the price of admission right there. Jesus opened up their understanding to something that was greater, and that was God. And Peter immediately went back to, "I don't deserve it. I am a sinful man." Jesus continued to teach and give instructions. He said, "I'm going to tell you something new. Fear not, because from now on, catching men is going to be as easy as catching fish when you give up your way." See, these are the things that God is inviting us to. The faith that pleases him. This is what's in his heart for your life. I want you to know that he doesn't want you to have to toil. Please get it, please get it, please get it, please get it. He said, "We have toiled," verse 5, "we have toiled all the night." And Jesus brings them a revelation that your life by faith does not have to be a toil. Your life by faith comes because of obedience to his word. "Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net." And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fish, and the net break. That process opens us up to not live in want, but to live by faith. To live in the place where you bless those that are connected to you. They called their partners with them and said, "Come, help us." And the supply that Jesus brought them into filled both boats so that they began to sink. I mean, wouldn't you want to live that kind of faith that pleases God? Live the kind of faith that allows you to be removed from fear, that even gives you a second purpose that you didn't even know you were training for. They still were fishers, but they were fishers of men. And he did that to give them an opportunity to do what verse 11 said, "And when they brought their ships to the land, they forsook all and followed him." Will you allow the invitation of God to take you to the deeper level, the next level, the level where faith is what you live by and you can follow the path of faith. You can experience the greatness of God, the goodness of God, and share that with those connected to your life. Of course, the choice is yours. Your way or God's way? God's waiting on you today. Father, we do thank you. And we bless you for your word that gives us an opportunity to launch out into the deep, to no longer function in the shallow place of lack and frustration, of toil, but to come into the place where abundance and your will connect. Because you're the one that said that you've come that we might have life and we might have it more abundantly. Thank you for opening our hearts to hear the revelation of your word. Fill our net, sink our boat with your goodness, Father. Because that's what you want to do. That's what you gave us faith for, so that we can please you. Thank you for that, sir. We give you praise. We give you glory and honor. The divinity is done in the matchless name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is Lord and Savior, and the redeemed said together. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Well, if you have any questions about the ministry today, I'll give you a chance to ask the questions or comments about the ministry. So area code 404-453-2953. Area code 404-453-2953. You have the mic. Any questions or comments for today's ministry? Amen. Amen. We just thank you for being there. Area code 678-571-9141. You have the mic. Any questions or comments about today's ministry? Go ahead. Area code 678-571-9141. You have the mic. Amen. Amen. Well, again, we want to thank you for being part of the LiveDeliverance.com radio broadcast. And if this message has been a blessing to you and God is laying on your heart to sow a seed here, then you can just go to Live Deliverance and you can open up the donate tab and you can be a blessing so that the things that God wants to do through you can be done for you because of your obedience. Even in that. So again, we just thank you for participating, and we'll see you here back again next Monday at 9 o'clock, and I'll do what the Lord says about imparting into your life truths that will help you win every time, all the time. Until the next time we get together, shalom.